Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
I'm an old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
The win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Art Chansky, and just like in the NFL, the halfway point marks the start of a new season. And today, Bob Lee, it starts for Carolina.
This is Bob Lee, and I'd like to say hello to the all-important Boston Market. Not the restaurant, but all those thousands of people in Massachusetts that Johnny Swofford said would tune in once we let them in the conference.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That is me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
I'm Rod Stutz. Today is Good Sports with Bob C. and Art C.
You do that every time, don't you, Stutz?
Yeah. I don't have any idea who you are, but we're coming to you live from Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill as we count down to the Tar Heels game with the Eagles of Boston College. Good afternoon, Good Sports. What do you think?
Good afternoon, Ron. I want to say that you're getting a hall pass on this one because you've only been doing this show for 40 years.
Oh, so, thank you. Thank you very much.
Really, I mean.
I started when I was a small child.
Bob Lee, I was in New York all week, and I was razzing the Yankee fans, every Yankee fan that I saw. And so I'm really not prepared to tell us about the great guests that you've lined up, so why don't you do it?
Well, I think it's going to be a great discussion that I think everyone ought to be tuning into. We're going to learn about school spirit and efforts being made by individuals to up the school spirit, and that famous phrase, change the Carolina football culture. How many times have you and I heard that over 40 years, Chansky?
Well, I will say this. When I came to Carolina, I went to a football game the first weekend I was here, and I came down from Boston, and I walked in there, and there was this guy with the overalls standing on the bandstand in front of the student section.
The mic man.
And he was yelling, "We're going to rip the hell out of Clemson!" And I said, what did he say? Could you explain it? And I thought that was great culture.
He had trouble understanding you, too, by the way.
Exactly.
All right, I got a trivia question for you. Talking about 40 years, name me 2 Boston College Eagles. Don't use the word Flutie or Ryan.
Jack Concannon is one.
Remember him? You get a prize for that.
That's a long one, huh?
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, well, I can name you a lot of them.
Name me one other one.
Luke Kuechly.
Yep. Okay. Was he the guy with cancer, the linebacker that overcame
cancer?
No,
he's the guy that's the best linebacker in the NFL for the Panthers, man. Don't show your ignorance.
What happened to Sam Mills?
Get with the program. Sam Mills?
Yeah, I thought he was a linebacker for the Panthers. Are the Panthers changing their name to the Hornets? No, that's the other team. I get them confused.
Wait a minute. Before we get off on that, because Anthony Wellman's here, I want to get off on the Panthers a little bit. I know they're 4-3, Anthony, but here's a question for you. The number of total victories of the 4 teams that the Panthers have won. What's the number?
4.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Not that 5.
High. 5, yeah. I knew it wasn't that high.
And they beat St. Louis when Sam Bradford went out of the game in the middle of the game. So
he was already beat. They were already beat.
Okay. All
Sam
right.
So
what I'm saying is, do not make your plans for tickets for Sun Life, MetLife, whatever the hell it is, in New York Stadium for the Super Bowl.
Can you give me Candlestick Park, though?
I can get you
Candlestick.
I can get you Candlestick.
49. Right.
That's next year.
Perfect.
Ron, we hate to interrupt these people. What did you and I think about Zero Dark Thursday?
I thought Zero Dark Thursday was great. great. I thought the students were great. I thought everything downtown was great. I thought everything in the stadium. I love the black uniforms. Everything was positive, except we didn't win the football game. That was the only thing that would have made it a perfect
up
thing.
Up until the last 3 minutes of the game, and we said this in the introduction here. I thought the people who were responsible for this, and maybe our guest had something to do with Zero Dark Thursday, was incredibly well done. And they can't control the game, and you know whatever went wrong on that third down that kept moving us back and back and back and back. But the promotion was really well done. I think we really need to take our hats off to Bubba and the people downtown and Art Chansky, all the things Art Chansky did about it. It was
Rick Steinbacher.
You're sucking up to Bubba.
You're sucking up to Bubba.
Yeah, it was great. Now, look, let me say this. The uniforms were fantastic in the sense that it accomplished what they wanted to. Like old guys like you, like that powder blue and all that kind of stuff. But the black with the blue jumping off it, that's what the kids like. That's what the recruits like. And on the TV, it really didn't matter who won the game because long before that game was over, the Tar Heels had won the popularity contest as far as the uniforms go. And Miami, I came up with that white pabulum, white. I thought that they would answer with some kind of green, lime green, something or other. But
it was pretty lame.
Yeah, they were lame. And our uniforms were great. And I think that was a big...
So we won the battle of the uniforms.
Yeah, for recruiting. Very important. Very important.
All those kids down in Broward and Dade County are starting to look north now.
As far as the game goes, I mean, we played them nose to nose.
And we should have won the football
game. Yeah, if our record was 4-1 or 3-2 going, we would have won the game because of the added confidence level we would have had. But that said, I think we gained confidence from losing that game, playing them as tough as we did. And I think I said it all week. It's a new season. You look at six games played by the Tar Heels, really four idle Saturdays, four teams ranked when they played them, 1-5 record, self-imposed mistakes that cost them at least two, maybe three of those games. So now you look ahead, six games, every one of them's on a Saturday. It's back to the college football routine. You know, you go to practice and meeting on Monday, practice Tuesday and Wednesday. You polish, as Larry Fedora says, on Thursday. You wind down on Friday, and you play the game on Saturday. That's six in a row. And the opponents, they're good, but they're not.
Every game from here on out is possibly winnable.
Absolutely. And so I'm telling you right now, we're going 6-0. We're finishing 7-5. We're going to a bowl game, and it's not Shreveport. We're winning in that bowl game. We're finishing 8-5. So what's?
And he accused me of sucking up to Bubba.
What's the difference between 8-5 and 8-4? Let me ask me. What's the difference between 8-5 and 8-4?
One.
Yeah, one. And what is that? That's one bowl game that we couldn't go to last year because the NCAA, you know, whatever you call them, they wouldn't let us go. And then Miami. Do you think Miami got off easy? What do you think?
Well, I know they're getting beat right now by the mighty Demon Deacons of Jim Grove.
Two self-imposed bowl bans, 9 football scholarships, 3 basketball scholarships, and 3 years of probation,
Frank Haith can't coach 5 Missouri basketball games. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and one of them's against Kansas. It's not. Yeah. Anyway, Ronnie, moving along.
Yes. The Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. We're off to a roaring start, ladies and gentlemen. Art Chansey's predicted we're going to go undefeated for the rest of the season, and Bob Lee can't remember the name of the Wake Forest coach. So, hey, we're rolling.
Is that Al Golden again?
I think that was the guy here last week from Miami, wasn't it?
T-Head Walker?
No.
Paul Amon?
What's the name of the Boston College coach? There's a better one for you.
Mike Adazio.
I think I called him Frank earlier today. At any rate,
I got that from one of my wicked pisser Boston friends who I saw before the game. And he's going to call up in a little bit and talk to us about all these crazy people.
I don't even want to.
All right, I got a question for you, Chansky. You kind of alluded to it a few minutes ago. Criticism of Larry Fedora. Now, you and I have been staunch defenders of Larry Fedora. I still like the man. I think he and his people are very capable of being very successful here. But the criticism is mounting. What do we talk about the mounting criticism, not just from the board monkeys, but in general?
The criticism is, your buddy Bubba. How many years did your buddy Bubba give
Larry? His first name is my buddy Bubba.
How many years did your buddy Bubba give Larry on contract? How many?
Five.
Seven.
Seven.
He wanted to give
Mickey
him five.
Mantle's number.
He offered him five for us. Fedora came back and said, no, I want seven because we don't know what the NCAA is going to lay at our feet. And so when you give a guy 7 years, you know you've built in two. And anybody who knows anything about football, we go back to our history. With John Bunning's first year, he did well because he had Mac Brown's last leftovers. You know, you go back to, you know, other programs who were in trouble when the coach took over, but there were still some good players left in the program. There were good players left in the program, but Anthony, how many? Five on NFL rosters this year from last year?
Yeah.
And so we have a very lean defense. We have some good players, some very good young players, and we've got to fill that up. Now, Vic Koning, I think, has done a terrific job in the last few weeks, taking really a pretty bad defense, teaching him how to play football. He split his tooth. He lost his hair. His wife left. No, I don't think that happened. I'm telling you, they're getting better. And that performance against Miami and the performance against Virginia Tech, we win those games unless we shoot ourselves in the foot. So that's a young football team without experience and without confidence, and those two things are being built. Criticism of Fedora is like poo-poo papa. It's ridiculous.
What do we say to that, Stutt? Poo-poo papa.
I don't know.
Let's take a break. What do you say? Well, let me see if I have one more thing about that.
Sure you do.
Yeah. Nope. 6-0 from this point on.
Apparently
let's take
not.
A break. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break. This is a good sports with Hartsey and Bob Lee. Coming to you live from the beautifully renovated Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz. We'll be back with more after this.
Hello, this is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's that time of year again. Carolina football season, and nobody gets more excited about Carolina football than I do.
Sammy, football and real estate have absolutely nothing in common, although once I had a client who wore shoulder pads.
Well, I suppose in your mind that counts.
And if you wanted to continue down that road, inspections are like first downs and lenders are like referees.
Yada, yada, and closing is like the end zone. I thought we agreed to never actually compare real estate to sports. Why are you saying these things?
Well, we do generally deal with two parties with totally opposing agendas, like two teams. The buyer wants to pay as little as possible and the seller wants as much as they can get.
Yes, but our goal would generally be thought of as a tie. Both parties get what they want and no one looks for that in a football game.
I do get that, Sam. When it comes to buying and selling a house, we all want to come out ahead.
Kit, that is so sweet.
Franklin Street Realty. Buying or selling, why would you call anyone else?
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
He'll play action to James out of the shotgun, looking deep. Finally, he'll air it out. Trey Boston picks it off for the Tar Heel. Boston in front of Philip Dorsett, the receiver for Miami, gets the turnover.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
I had not even thought about that. Trey Boston today. Defending against Boston College. Carolina and Boston College coming up. Kitty Stadium, 3:30 game time. Bob Lee, who are our guests?
Well, I am very pleased today to have two people that I think will tell our audience a lot of stuff that they don't know about what 30,000 people in this community think about sports. We have two representatives of the student body who are active in building school spirit. We have Jesse Nurkowski and Alex Collette. Jesse, we will go with you first. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about CAA that you represent.
Okay, well, I guess to start off.
Where are you from?
I am from Culpeper, Virginia.
Okay.
So a small town near Fairfax. I am a business major with a Spanish minor. and I am the vice president of CAA,
which is the
Carolina Athletic Association. Now, the CAA, we like to say, is the liaison between the student body and the athletic department.
Okay.
So we really, right now, we're trying to work on connecting the students to athletics by maybe making the athletes more as people than as, like, hero figures, and also just really getting pride in everything throughout that.
Okay. Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name's Alex Collette. I'm from Kernersville, North Carolina, a fourth-generation Tar Heel. I'm proud of it. I am a senior econ major with minors in Spanish and history. I'm the game day affairs chair at Chapel Hill for Carolina Fever, and what we do is we try to bring students out to support every Carolina sports varsity team. So obviously basketball team, by and large, has the most support, but we bring people out to all the different Olympic sporting events, whether it be volleyball or baseball or soccer, men's, women's soccer, lacrosse. And when people come out of that, we give them points to go towards earning prizes and towards earning basketball tickets. And we also try to get people coming out of the football games, of course. And we also do a lot of special events like tailgates and viewing parties when we're not actually at the events themselves.
And he also writes a great column for Chapelboro. Love the black uniform, silver lining. Yep,
but not the greatest column for Chapelboro.
Not the greatest. No, you write
this. I do the greatest
exactly.
column. There you go. All right.
So Alex is a very multi-talented guy. Fourth generation Tar Heel?
Yes, sir.
You like that ad on... You know, you see that on TV where there's the guy's father who's, like, just serving in the war, and then the father's father who is in Vietnam, and then the Second World War.
Yeah, we've been thinking about making a commercial, actually.
So you're a grandfather going back. So how far, when was he here?
I can't remember right off the top of my head.
Probably 40s, 50s.
Yeah, probably.
Was his name Hinton James, by any chance?
Not quite that.
All right, but now that leads us directly to my first great question. I came here in the mid-60s. Chansky, you came here a couple of years after me in the late 60s, right? Okay. In the time since I came here, there have been 8 Carolina football coaches. We could name them all, and you don't even count Everett Withers because he never really got his own office. But 8 coaches, every one of them when they came here, from Jim Hickey right on through, have said, I'm going to change the Carolina football culture, fan culture. Well, 8 coaches have come and gone, and the culture is really just about the same as it was in the mid-60s. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but I want to hear what y'all have to say. Jesse, what do you think about the Carolina fan culture?
Well, I have to say, coming from a Virginia Tech game and going to other places in Virginia, that is definitely different than I was expecting.
Okay.
But
you've been to a lot of games at Scott Stadium and in Charlottesville.
No, I've been to a couple of Virginia Tech games because I have a brother at Virginia Tech.
Okay.
But I haven't been to a whole lot of games. But my perception of it was, you know, big tailgating, lots of fans, it's hard to get in the games. Whereas my first home game I came to, I showed up 20 minutes before game time and got 5 seats up from the field.
Okay.
As my years have progressed, I think the game day atmosphere is getting a lot better, and I think a lot of that has to do with Coach Fedora.
Okay.
And with the with the themed games. I think it brings a lot of people together, and I really believe that with those themed games, whether it's Military Appreciation Day, Breast Cancer Awareness, it brings a whole community together supporting a team but also supporting a better cause.
You know, that's a great point, but I will tell you this, that I don't think the problem, Bob Lee, is with the students at all. I think the students are great. They've always been great. You know, it's a little hard, first of all, the structure of the stadium where it sits, and you're right next to Big Fraternity Court, and you're sitting there going, I'll have one more Minjula before I wander over to the stadium, that kind of thing. But it's the culture of the rest of the fans, and we've talked ad infinitum about TV and the effect that it has on it, but the fact that that team runs out with the smoke and the bombs and everything before and the stadium's half full, that I wonder if that's discouraging. You know, you talk to some of your football players, is that discouraging when the stadium is not full? And that's, Jesse, I think the difference between here and Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, where that stadium is full half an hour before the game and it's rocking and ready to receive.
All right, but the question I ask, and I'm big on comparables, that how we do on the field against comparables and how our fans are against universities, communities that are comparable. And I think Charlottesville, which is the reason I ask about, is probably one of the most, we may dislike UVA, but we all kind of think the two universities are about the same. Liberal arts universities, law school, medical schools.
And a little more quarterway over there than over here.
Pardon me?
I said a little more corduroy over there than over here, but still go. Very similar.
But still,
and a few more pairs of shorts and ties and sports.
You would relate more to a UVA student than you might to an NC State or a Duke student for various reasons we can get into in a few minutes. But so how UVA acts would be a good mirror for how we might react. They're both in the same conference, and their interests, the Greek influence, what else they have to do on campus. Alex, you've grown up around Carolina, so you've heard this for years. You've been coming to these games for years. What do you say to what Art just said about the general culture in Keenan Stadium? Now, we'll get to the Dean Dome in a minute, but Keenan Stadium.
I'd say for Keenan, I mean, obviously, I would have to agree. I think the students aren't really the problem, especially this year. We had good student support last year, minus a couple giant blowout games with Idaho and with Elon. And I think the student support's even been, if anything, greater this year. I mean, you've seen the Tar Pits been full for all three home games, despite two of those being noon or 12:30 games.
So. Now, were both of you here when they moved the student section to the end zone versus the 20-yard line? Was that done before
you all came? I think that was before we got here.
Okay, so. Because forever and ever, it was on about the 20-yard line on the south side. Ron, you've been here since George Barkley, and Choo Choo, so you remember that.
Well, that was stupid. I don't know why they did that, and it was very obvious, and Fedora loves it. I mean, he doesn't even call Keenan anymore. He wants it branded as the Tar Pit, and the students are there, and the students are not the problem. The adults are the problem, and the problem is that unlike Virginia is very similar in that regard, but NC State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, places like that, where you all feed in from a traffic standpoint, you feed into the same spot, you tailgate around the stadium, and everybody does what everybody else does, and they finish and they go into the stadium and get ready to go. At Carolina for 100 years, Bob Lee, since just before you were here,
right. They
start coming in from the south, and they park at the Craig Deck, and they come in from the north, and they park at the Forest Theater, and they come in this way, and they find their place to do it, and they set up the little tailgates, and there's no real marshalling of spirit, you know, for everybody. It's like the best one is at Notre Dame, Ron, at Notre Dame where everybody looks at their clock and 40 minutes before the game, everybody gets together and marches into the stadium.
Yeah.
They form a big line, and everybody marches to the stadium. And that doesn't exist here. I don't know what the answer
is. Okay, you two feel free to interrupt him. Don't interrupt me, but interrupt him when he gets on one of these diatribes. Do you agree with that? And what can we do? We're not going to move the stadium. Obviously, NC State has festival parking. Clemson has festival parking. A lot of these schools, Virginia Tech's a little bit different. The idea that our people are all hidden down little back roads and up cul-de-sacs and different places they can park, which has had a charm of its own when you're an on-campus stadium. But there isn't anything any of us can do about the logistics of Keenan Stadium. So what can you do? Go ahead, either one.
Let me go first. I think that a lot of people don't appreciate the fact that we do have a stadium and all our sports venues are right there in the heart of campus. And that's something that I've always thought is really special and unique about Chapel Hill. And I understand that kind of, to an extent, hurts tailgate culture. And that's the big thing. When you go to Blacksburg, they're in a giant parking lot and there are thousands of people out there that, you know, they make it a game day instead of just about the game. It's about the experience and it's about getting together before and after the game. But I think Zero Dark Thursday proved that even with everyone parking in different places and with all the, you know, the sprawling nature of Chapel Hill, that people can still get together and make it a very unique and a very special game day experience. And I think that if the fans are motivated properly, I think we can still have a great game day experience, but it takes a group effort, you know.
I think it's really cool when students act real crazy at the game. I call them the human condom suits. I don't know what they're called, but the guys that dress up in the, you know, what are they called? You know what I'm talking about.
I think, are you talking about the guys that are over there by like the 15-yard line?
No, they pull the thing all over their face and everything.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I think they're, morph suits? I think is what they're called.
I like human condom suits.
Yeah, we know you like that.
But I think that's great. I think people want to spray lighter fluid on their head and set their hair on fire. I think that's great. Paint your chest. I think anything students do to act crazy at a game,
definitely,
I'm all for it. I'm not sure the mayor of Chapel Hill or the eye surgeon up in Section 27 or something or the people in the blue zone are going to do that. But I think it's great that people between 18 and 22 adolescing their way through to a young adulthood can do that. You're not going to be able to do that in 5 years.
No.
You guys aren't. You're going to be out earning a living. But now you can act crazy. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, and through Carolina Fever, we encourage that. And we provide paint-ups before every game, too. So the only thing about that is you got to watch out for games like this when it's really sunny to apply sunscreen first, or else you might end up with a letter. For example, my freshman year for the Georgia Tech game, I ended up with a giant E on my chest that was there for, I think, a solid 4 months after.
Is that a cheap tattoo?
If you want to call call it that. It's a little more than a henna tattoo, though.
All right, now, what do people today that aren't going to be at the game, what will they be doing in Chapel Hill today rather than go to a game?
Oh, man.
Don't say studying. I ain't going to buy that.
No, but seriously, that's the biggest thing I hear. Oh, I have studying to do. Or I'm out of town.
Okay.
But no, a lot of my friends are like, I have so much homework to do, so I can go out tonight. I need to take that 4 hours during the day to get it done. Okay. So they have their evenings free.
That plus, I think a lot of the noon and 12:30, I just hear that people want to sleep in. And I mean,
yeah.
Do the students know that Bubba, nor I, nor Carol Folt, nor Art have anything to do with that scheduling? That is beyond anyone's control.
No, definitely. I think that's interesting because there's a lot of people on, you know, through Carolina Fever, and I'm involved with a lot of people that know a lot about sports. They understand that it's all about TV scheduling and that we have no control over that. But there's a lot of students that they think that we can just opt into a night game every game, and that's obviously not how it works.
But we do have control over it. Let me tell you why. It's all about, remember Al Davis, who used to coach the Oakland Raiders? He used to say, just win, baby. You just win, baby, and you're going to be playing lots of 3:30 games and lots of 7 o'clock games where people can plan and get here and really get, you know, we'll liquor up the right crowd to get to the game in time.
What I was thinking a while ago, it's a problem. I agree with what you said. I don't think the problem is with the students. I think the problem is with all these fair weather fans who are so quick to jump off the bandwagon when we lose a couple of games. They have high expectations, and then Carolina doesn't play the way they think Carolina should play, and then all of a sudden they're all down on the coach and criticizing everything and don't come to the games. And so many people who have tickets to the games and don't show up and sit in those seats. And, you know, you got all these empty seats around the stadium. That's the problem. If you get those guys fired up, the only way to do it is by winning.
Exactly.
And I want to bring up one thing that just happened yesterday, and I notified you two about this. You say just win and the students will stay. How come it's not happening at Alabama? Why is Nick Saban going on national TV complaining about the students at Tuscaloosa leaving the games early? I mean, if Nick didn't know I was going to be interviewing you two guys today, I mean, that was so perfect. So what is their problem?
Well, they're too good, baby. They win too much, baby. That's their problem.
I mentioned the Elon and Idaho games last year. I mean, Idaho because it was also raining, so people didn't want to sit out and just be moist for 3 or 4 hours at a time. But Elon, we're up 62-0 by the second half, midway through the third quarter. Everybody's gone, and it's just because, you know, a 62-0 blowout's not anything anyone wants to sit through.
Not even to see our team continue to score touchdowns?
I personally would sit through the whole thing, and I did, but I can understand where people come from if they're not interested in seeing just a game.
Okay, now I read an article about Penn State students, and they're famous, and let's forget about their recent issues they've had, but their students are famous for filling up the stadium. Over the last few years, that's not happening anymore at Penn State. And one of the reasons fascinated me, because there's poor Wi-Fi reception in the stadium, and the students aren't going to go 4 hours without checking their smartphones. Now, does that have any validity? What is the iPhone reception at Kenan Stadium?
Not good.
Okay.
At least my phone is constantly roaming or going in and out of roaming.
I mean, and I wrote Bubba and I said, is this something we can correct with an extra tower over the bell tower or something?
It totally has validity. And, you know, the major league ballparks are doing exactly the same thing. They used to ban Wi-Fi. Now they're having complete interactive in stadiums because they want people to be part of the game. You know, the old thing was, become be a spectator, you watch what's happening on the field. Now they want them to interact, and I think that if Alex and Jesse, before you leave, I know, Jesse, you've got a couple of years left, but it would be really great if you would leave Bubba Cunningham, who is a very proactive kind of guy, with a list of great ideas. You know, I get together with the Fever group and get ideas. Even if it's like some ritual we start, like 30 minutes before the game starts, like shooting off this cannon, just boom, this cannon, which means everybody's got to get to the game, and do some other things which suggest that people need to get there by kickoff or else they're going to miss something, you know. So, and that comes from 4 years of experience of you guys sitting amongst it and noticing the good and bad of it. So I think a part of your legacy would be to get together with your group and leave a list of recommendations for Bob Lee's son. And you know what? Because Bob Lee's buddy is Bubba,
Bubba's my buddy.
He will read what you send him.
Absolutely. Now, Ron, do we need to sell something?
Because I think we need to take a break.
I want to ask these kids something about academics and athletics, some of those issues regarding academics and athletics.
Okay.
But let's sell something first.
Why don't we take a quick break? This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're broadcasting live today, part of WCHL's exclusive pregame coverage from Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz, along with Art Chansey and Bob Lee, and we'll be back after this.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at fitzlumber.com. Go Heels!
First down. Cardinals with the flea flicker. Gave it to Bernard. Back to Ritter. Deep to Tapley for the touchdown. And just like that, less than 90 seconds into the ballgame, the Tar Heels are up 6.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Ron Stutz, and we are broadcasting live from the beautifully renovated Rams Plaza. We're right in front of the Better Sleep Store and Supercuts. If you'd like more information about Rams Plaza, if you'd like to move your business here, it's a great place to be. Please contact the Argus Development Group at 704-376-9848. This is part of WCHL's exclusive pregame coverage of Carolina football, countdown to kickoff, and the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee, broadcasting live on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, and streaming live on our website at chapelboro.com. Now, back to Bob Lee.
All right, I want to switch over for a minute from students attending games and school spirit and whatnot to a bigger issue that's been percolating here certainly for the last 3 years with some of the unfortunate issues that I refer to it as the great unpleasantness cloud that's been over this campus for going on 4 years now. The issue of academics and athletics and how you marry the two into something that works. Both of you, Jesse, we'll go with you first. Does that issue, and however you interpret it, how do you feel on athletics and academics?
Well, I know quite a few athletes personally very well, and okay. They are all very academically minded.
Okay. Now, are they football, basketball, baseball, field hockey, what?
A mix. We've got some track, got some field hockey, some football, okay. And just a mix. I don't know much about basketball and some other football players, but I think when we hear about all these scandals, I don't think people realize that it's a few people who make an entire impression.
Okay.
If you look at the statistics, we have over 86% of our student athletes who do graduate, which is like number 5 in the nation.
Okay.
It's fantastic, and it's very difficult here, but I think students and athletes take pride in that more so.
You're what class?
I'm a junior.
You're junior. So you've been through 2.5 years now,
mm-hmm.
5 semesters. Have you had any jocks in your classes that, like, fell asleep or never showed up or any of those stereotype situations? And you knew from day one, oh, my gosh, there is so-and-so. And it's usually football and basketball, what we talk
right,
about.
Right,
if that situation has happened. Alex, you get a chance to think about this for a second.
I can't say I've had any in my classes. If they were in there, it would have been in a 300 I mean, in the, like, 300 big lecture halls, and I sit in the front row, so I don't know whether...
And how would you know, because they're not there?
She's sitting in the front row where they always say, you know, the sharp students sit up front.
Well, I always put the disclaimer, I've always been the overachiever.
Okay.
As much as I could possibly say, so I always sit in the front row and try to get to class a couple minutes early.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to name any names, but there's been two or three athletes in particular that I can think of that come to mind that they'll show up maybe 3 days to class during the semester, and that'll be first midterm, second midterm, then the final. So,
okay.
I mean, it does happen.
So the stereotype does exist. Now, it's a case of is it rampant or is it spotty?
I don't think it's rampant. I think, like Desi was saying, it's a few individuals who are kind of giving a bad name to the rest of the group. And I know just as many lazy, normal students who are non-athletes as I do athletes who don't go
point.
To class.
Excellent point, by the way.
And that's really the tragedy, as Jesse said, of the whole thing. We had a handful of football players who probably shouldn't have been here to begin with, and a couple of rogue coaches who didn't know how to manage them, and an athletic administration that fell asleep at the wheel, and voila, that's what you got, a scandal that won't go away. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your insights, and you think that's a good idea, Alex, to come up with a list of suggestions that the FIVA group can leave behind for...
I'll jump on it as soon as I get home after the game today.
Well, you're off to a deck where you can think about it for a little bit. But really, let's get some input to Bubba's friend, Bob Lee, and he'll turn it around and give it back to Bubba, and we can get some action going here.
Jesse will be listening for you in the stadium today. You got to be loud. You got to get there early, be loud, and stay late.
You can take that mic, take that CHL mic with you, and just scream into that all day.
Oh boy! Well,
Alex, thanks again, and
thanks, guys.
Thanks for all you do in Chapelboro as well.
Like we've said so many times before, the students aren't the problem. We love the students. Students are great in Carolina. Carolina taking on Boston College today. Kick time is 3:30. We're all excited about having a game a little bit later on in the day, and that ought to give everybody a chance to get here, including some of those fair weather fans who might want to come and enjoy the sunny day, even if they do complain about things. This is The Good Sports with Bob C., Bob Lee, and Art C., and... I have never gotten you guys confused before. This is a first. But we're coming back to Rams Plaza in just a moment. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back as Carolina and Boston College get ready to play.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels.
The flagship station for Carolina sports. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
7 seconds on the play clock. Big third down here. Carolina trying to take the lead. Shotgun snap to Renner. He drops straight back. Plenty of time. Goes to the end zone. Ebron sweeps catches it for six. What a play by the Tar Heel tight end.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Broadcasting live from Rams Plaza in Chapel Hill, this is Ron Stetson. Now, once again, here is Art Chansky.
Hey, you know, Bob Lee, that was a great interview. Thanks for lining it up. And every time you see these bright, just wonderful young kids that we have at Carolina, and you just think of so many that there are. I remember the Rammies that your buddy Bubba put on last year where 700 athletes were given awards and somebody from every sport demonstrated some talent they have, whether it was singing or dancing or something. And you just, you know, as Carolina alums, it's been heartbreaking. That's the only word I can think about it. You go all over the state, you go all over the country, and people want to know what's going on in Chapel Hill. And it's heartbreaking that everything that's been built here for 200 years and the better part of 100 years over athletics, you know, has been just torn asunder by a few bad apples. And, you know, an administration that fell asleep at the wheel and didn't know what was going on. And it's really heartbreaking. But the message is just as Jesse said, it's a small sliver of the student body we have here and the athletes that we have here. So many of the vast majority, 99.95%, are so bright, talented, hardworking kids who continue to give Carolina a great name, and we just need to get beyond this.
I totally agree, and I think we have some good people in place now to do that. We always kid about this, about my friend Bubba and Larry. We've still got Roy being Roy, and God bless him. We'll talk about him if we have to, and whatever he said lately, and he always manages to say something. But we do. It's still a great university. It's still a beautiful college town, certainly one of the finest college communities, college towns with a main drag anywhere in America. And this is a beautiful day. Keenan Stadium is amid the high pines of Keenan Stadium, one of the most beautiful football stadiums in America. And there's a lot to be said positive about it, and we need to concentrate on that, acknowledging the bad, but concentrating on the good.
Absolutely.
And today, against Boston College, we begin the second half of our
season. We begin the new. And so the definition of saving the season, we're not going to Charlotte for the ACC championship game. We're not winning the Coastal. That's next year. But here we go. Okay, so how does Carolina save the season? What is the savior besides winning the last six games? You got NC State next week. You got Duke the following week.
No.
I mean the last week of the season.
Right.
And then so you've got six games, and you've got a state championship that Mac Brown used to talk about. What's important to you?
I think today is just a football game. We have no real relationship with Boston College. It's the team we're playing today. And a win is always best. So let's win today. But today doesn't really matter. It's just a game. Next week matters a lot. It matters to all of our fans on the cul-de-sacs and the offices and retail stores in their communities. Playing state matters. We win that game. That keeps a lot of people happy. We beat UVA. That takes care of the old grads who've always thought Virginia was the school that they like to compete against and consider their academic equal. And, of course, Duke. So if we win, you give me three wins the rest of the way, I'll take State, Virginia, and Duke. And the others aren't going to matter a lot. If we beat Old Dominion, yes, that's like Middle Tennessee.
Well, they are
going to beat Virginia State and Duke, and all three of those games are very winnable right now. They're not any better than we are if we play like we did last week.
I haven't given up on all six and going to a bowl game. And you know what? If you don't get to play for the championship, then you takes me back to what Dean Smith used to say. He used to stand up there in front of Rams Club meetings, and he would say, "Okay, what would you rather do? Beat Duke twice?" I'll go to the Final Four. And everybody would look at everybody else and kind of not sure whether they should raise their hand or not, but he always nailed them on that, and that's the point.
What was the answer he wanted?
Well, he just wanted to see. He wanted to do a gotcha to everybody because, you know, people complain about not going to the Final Four, but the team beat Duke twice. So, but the idea that Carolina can still has State on its schedule, still has Virginia on its schedule, and Duke has turned into a pretty good football team, still has Duke, you know, that could be a really momentum-building second half of the season, not only for next year, but really to still accomplish some goals this year and get to a bowl game. So that's what I'm banking on. And Boston College has a terrific team, and they run the ball with Andre Williams. He's got over 800 yards in six games already. But they have a quarterback named Chase Fertig or something like that, who's got about 13 interceptions in in six games, so he averages two. And Fedora, I guess, wants to make sure that we shut the running game down, make them go to the air so Trey Boston and the group can pick off a few.
Boston versus Boston.
Exactly. So that's where we're sitting, and now we're going to look and talk about something else. We're going to talk about who's on the hot seat in the ACC. Is it Al London, Mike Golden?
It's whoever is the coach at Scott Stadium, and Mr. Jefferson's football coach, I think, is on the hot seat.
It's Mike Golden from London, or is it Mike London from a tarnished Goldenshire, who they gave up 35 unanswered points to Duke last week. 35. Did you watch that game?
I did.
I mean, I was texting one of my Virginia friends during the game, and I said, Virginia is gone awful. And he was saying, yeah, we think he should be fired right now on the field before the game ends.
Wow.
That's how bad things are up there.
And I think he probably will be. I mean, he was, you know, he was a player there, wasn't he? And he came back. He came from Richmond. He was a very successful coach in small college at Richmond. And he came up to replace the controversial and embattled Al Groh.
You know what he was before he went back into coaching?
What?
He was a cop.
Hmm.
Really? All right, and the other thing, too,
so
is
if he loses, that means John Tenuta moves on to his 18th college coaching staff.
And let me tell you one other thing, okay? Another little dab will do you like they did at Clemson last week, like Florida, like Florida State did to
Bring
Clemson.
Bring back Danny Ford.
I think Dabo will have a very short leash because Dabo is considered a kind of a PR rah-rah guy who really can't even diagram a play on a napkin. And so when you start losing to Florida State in a game that's supposed to be an even game, you know,
the term being Clemson now apparently is an ESPN term. They talk about when you lose games you're not supposed to lose, and losing like they did. Talk about leaving early. I didn't watch all that game, but I understand that the students and the fans started leaving Death Valley as soon as they were declared dead in the middle of the third quarter.
Were you guys shocked by that game? I thought Clemson was pretty good.
Oh, God. They had
Especially playing there.
They had the Heisman Trophy leader, Taj Boyd, going into that game. So,
and the Heisman Trophy was moved to the other side of the field now. And famous Jameis, who, by the way, is playing against the mighty Wolfpack tonight, or this afternoon, 3:30, I think.
Exactly.
3:30.
But, that game, Dabo, I think you have to look and see, watch Clemson closer, because I think, as strange as it seems, I think Dabo could join our boy Mike London from Golden.
I think you're right. They've got to lose another game, but that was, I mean, they got whooped like a rented mule, I mean, a bad rented mule. Mm-hmm. At home like that, you just don't do that, Dabo.
All right.
That was almost as bad as what West Virginia to them in the Orange Bowl a couple of years ago. They hung 70 on them.
All right, Stutz Muffin, let me ask you a question here.
Yes.
Do we need one more break? If we need one more break, we're going to take it because we're going to come back and talk about Tar Heel basketball.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. This is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee, and we'll be back in 1 minute to get you ready for Carolina and Boston College.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers. Good to go.
Renner in the shotgun again with Blue to his right. He'll throw a quick screen to the 10-yard line. Davis makes a man miss and gets it to the end zone.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Ron Stutz along with Art C. and Bub Lee, broadcasting live from Rams Plaza. Carolina taking on the Eagles at Boston College. Once again, here's Bob Lee.
Well, my column yesterday on BobLeeSays.com blew up the internet, and I knew it. The old trick like Louis Grizzard taught, always put an exciting, provocative title, and that's all people are going to read, and that's all that matters. So my title yesterday on BobLeeSays.com was a new Dean Dome, ? Bringing up the fact that certain powerful organizations within the university are talking about major revisions to or completely replacing the venerable basketball citadel named after himself, Dean Smith. What have you heard, Arthur?
Well, I think, I hear that too. A couple of things. First of all, it's a very touchy subject, but it's getting more real every day. And by the way, I was at Late Night with Roy last night. I want you to remember the name, Isaiah Hicks. Isaiah Hicks. Isaiah Hicks can play. Okay. And I think we're going to be better than people think. But anyway, it's a very touchy subject. But the Dean Dome is 27 years old. It's 7 years older than Carmichael was when the men heels left Carmichael for the Smith Center. They only played in Carmichael for 20 years, from 66 to 86. And the Dean Dome, as great as it's been, it's just rot with problems now, all the way from the bottom ground, which is only goes halfway around because they didn't want to blow up any more dynamite. So it's created storage problems from the day that they've been in there, to a seating situation, which is really too big. For today's arenas, it's too big. It doesn't create the kind of supply and demand that we had hoped to grow into, like it was at Carmichael. And the most important thing, well, parking is a problem, especially for late night games, and your old bugaboo flat screen TVs are going to keep people away.
But those dreaded 9 o'clock games.
Right. The biggest, most critical point is that the university is leaving millions of dollars on the table from people who want good basketball seats that aren't available because of this stupid, is all I think. Think about it. The two lifetime seat license deal made in the 1980s, it's killed at least two chances to refinance and reseat the building over the last 20 years. Think about it. Most public seat licenses now are for 10 years, maybe 20 at the most. But it gave us, you could buy a seat in the 1980s, Bob Lee, and you have the rights to buy those seats for your lifetime and the lifetime of your oldest child. So that
was your oldest child. So it's not forever and ever and ever.
No, it's just two lifetimes, two generations.
Okay.
It's your lifetime and the lifetime of your oldest child. So in order to, and then, concerts dried up. The state was paying for maintenance back in those days. They don't do it anymore. So it's a very sore subject about a undertapped revenue stream.
Well, the point I brought up, and I brought it up for years with people on this subject, and now it's reaching a level of something's going to have to happen, was when they built that building, there were only two other what I'll call big 20,000-seat arenas in the country. One was Rupp Arena, which had been built a couple of years earlier, and the other one was the Delta Center for BYU out in Utah. And so nobody really knew what to do. So every time someone built one, the other people building the later one learned something. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the RBC or PNC or whatever it's called was only built, 10, 15 years ago. So it learned. You learn from other people's mistakes. We didn't know anything about corporate suites and club seating and stuff back in those days. So they did. They were state-of-the-art, but it quickly became antiquated within 5 years of being built. Obviously, what I'll call Skipper's carrot on a stick, which was what you're talking about with the lower level, guaranteeing those seats for two generations. It worked. It got the money raised. And without that, would the money have been raised? So I'm not going to hindsight their mistakes other than we're living with them now, and now we've got to move on to the next generation. And does that mean gut the upper level to maybe reduce seating from 20,000 to 16,000 and add some corporate suites, which seem to be all the rage? Or does it mean blow up the whole building, turn it over to the business center or the business school or something, and move to a new location?
Well, there's so many options, that have been talked about. The concourses are now, too small. When you go into big arenas, the concourses are much wider. So you could blow out the concourses and widen them, do things, but you still leave a lot of the problems that exist right now. And the biggest one, the biggest thing that's now come up in the last week is apparently some very influential people want to use the land where University Square and Granville Tower sits right now and build a downtown arena.
Really?
A downtown arena. And to do that, You know, University owns the land for sure, but wow, what a battle royal in town and gown that would be to put a downtown arena. And so many pros, Ron, and so many cons about it, too. Parking is an issue, but think of the commerce and the excitement it would bring to downtown Chapel Hill to have sort of
I think the guy at the top of the hill would like it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you what.
Spankies would like it.
I have to say, I'm in the dark. I've not heard about any of this.
Yeah, that's just late. Yeah. You know, before that, they said, let's take the lower Rams Club parking lot where everybody parks now, build a new one there, and then take down the building and turn that into a parking deck. But that still leaves it on South Campus with the parking squalls and everything else like that. But the latest is, let's put it where Granville Towers is.
All right. We've only got a couple of minutes here, and we're getting ready for Carolina and Boston College. You guys ready for the two-minute drill?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are.
Will famous Jameis hang 50? Famous Jameis. Will famous Jameis hang 50 on the Wolfpack today? What do you think?
I do not. I think they're going to catch Florida State coming off of the big victory over Clemson. Now, there is a revenge factor because State beat Florida State last year when they were ranked number 3 in the country. But I think they'll beat them convincingly, but I don't think he'll hang 50.
Well, I don't know about 50, but it's not going to be close. The kid's for real. He's a combination of Charlie Ward, E.J. Manuel, and he has the arm, if not the wife, of Christian Ponder. So I think that
Where did that come from?
You seen Sam Ponder?
I have.
Okay, cool. All right, number two.
Hey, listen, who will win the mythical state championship in North Carolina this year? Bob Lee?
I think the Duke Blue Devils.
Really?
I do. I think the Duke Blue Devils. Now, they've got to play Wake Forest, they've got to play us, and they've got to play State. Actually, Duke has not played any of the big three yet.
Well, if ECTC beats State, the Pirates are going to win the state championship. Say that again.
Arg. Henry Hinton, eat your heart out.
But I agree with you. If Duke beats State, Wake and Carolina, the Blue Devils are, and they will deserve it too. But, you know, really, who cares about the state championships except for Mack Brown?
Mack Brown cares. Right.
Let's just win 7 and get to Shreveport. What do you say? Yeah. You want to go back to Shreveport, Ryan?
No, I don't. Shreveport.
All right, time for predictions. What do you think? What's the score going to be today, Carolina and Boston College?
Well, I don't want to jinx it, so I'm going to say we win 28-14.
Well, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
And I think
you've
got to
be all inspired. No, we're going to win out.
It's the Tar Heels by 10, and then off to Raleighwood next year to face State in the concrete carcass in the fairground.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. I'm predicting a Carolina win, too, by the way, if anybody cares. I say 31-24, all right?
And how about the World Series tonight? What do you say, Bob Lee?
Cardinals. Go birds on the bat.
You Cardinals suck up.
Have a Budweiser and celebrate the Cardinals.
Art Chansky is the number one Red Sox fan in America.
Oh, it's all about relief pitching. Both teams have relief pitching.
Big Poppy's going to make a crucial error at first base.
He might.
To let in the winning run.
It's a team that gets ahead and stays ahead because it's all about the bullpens. What do you think about that, Ronnie?
Oh, I don't care.
Are you going? Ronnie, you're taking off your microphone.
You're
going to your plush seats in the pro box, right?
The three best Cardinal pitchers, add their ages up, and it's younger than we are.
Oh, wow. Man, that's depressing.
That really is depressing. You're not that man. When you get to a certain point.
No, younger than my daughter. I can't believe it.
You mean those guys are 15, 16, and 17?
They are indeed.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize.
Waka Waka is like 12 years old. He has some of his mother drives him to the stadium.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carolina and Boston College coming up today. 3:30 kick time in Kenan Stadium.
And this is our chance again. I'll be talking to you on WCHL this week and writing to you love letters on chapelboro.com.
And this is Bob Lee, and you can go to my website, BobLeeSays.com, and read that incredibly provocative column we just talked about.
And if you want more of Bob Lee, go to Bob Lee Says, the best sports website on earth. Check it out. That's what he says. And we'll see you next time on The Good Sports, the show that knows the score and tells it to you. This is Ron Stutz. The Good Sports is heard before every Carolina football game at 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carpenters News Talk and Tar Heel Station. Carolina, Boston College coming up. Everybody get ready and go Heels.
See you this week, Stud Muffin.
You got it.